Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and good evening, and welcome to Side Business. This is Brother Bullock with his co-host, Sister Eileen Reed, and this evening, we got one important and strong show for you to get involved in. Sister Reed, are you there?
I am here, Brother Bullock, and I agree this is a very important show that we're doing tonight.
Yes, indeed. As we know, it is National Crime Victims' Rights Week, and this upcoming Saturday, we're hosting a survival vigil over at 806 Collins at Free AME. We would like for the public to come out and join. Sister Reed, believe it or not, we have some callers already.
Okay, now, that's wonderful.
So I'm going to hit these numbers, and let's see what we got going on. Okay. Caller 5187, you are with us on West Side Editions. Who are we speaking with, please?
You are speaking with Dorlia Witters.
Hello, Ms. Witters. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing good, and you?
I'm fine. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fresno, California.
All right.
Excellent.
You had asked me to call in about reparations.
Oh, okay. That's our young lady. You were with Shy Joyce, am I correct?
Yes, you are correct.
It is good to hear from you, and I'm glad that you called in.
Me too.
I understand that... you spoke with Sister Shy in the state capitol in Sacramento, and go right ahead, tell the listening audience how that went for you.
It had went great, but at first I was nervous, and then when I started talking more about it and getting more into it, I started getting more confidential about my speech.
Uh-huh. And what made you decide to talk to the folks in Sacramento about reparations?
I felt like my voice needs to be heard about it, since I am a seventh generation Californian and I am a black child who has experienced racism just like
uh-huh.
as the other black children in America.
I see.
All right, wow. Then. And please tell us, what did you speak to them about, specifically about reparations?
Yes.
I asked to them about my grandchildren and their grandchildren and their grandchildren about what we will have when we get our money, like what we will build as a community, what we will, the land that we will have.
Uh-huh.
Like what we can do with it, because we will need more of that. Because you see, there are the Asian community, the Indian community. You see them with their stores, but where are our stores going to be at? You see the white American doctors, the hospitals everywhere, but where are our hospitals going to be at?
You are absolutely correct. And I personally like the fact that you are looking forward, not just
mm-hmm.
focusing on your generation, but the ones coming behind you. And that's always smart. The fact that you
yes.
are talking about the land values, you know, kudos for you for that, because I brought up some things that are very important, because once we go back to the land, that's something no one can take away from us.
That's right, and that's the best way to build generational wealth, is to have land and then keep it in the families of those that have it. So good for you for bringing that up to their attention.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Yes, indeed. And we definitely appreciate you calling tonight. We had asked Sister Shy Joyce if it was possible we'd be able to talk to you, and we are so glad to hear from you because we think that people your age, hearing your voices and seeing that you're getting involved in some positive things, that's beautiful. I am so proud
yes.
of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, we definitely appreciate you calling in tonight.
Yes. We hope this will be your last time calling in. We want to hear about what you think about what's going on in the country and how to make things better. So we can't do anything without you and your generation.
I agree.
Yes, indeed. And I definitely love the fact, again, that you're looking forward. You realize that it just doesn't stop with you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you want to put out there?
Another thing that I would like to put out there is that we need more people my age to speak about their education, because who else is going to speak for us other than us and about our experiences? Because our experiences, if we speak more about them, it can help us build, like, better education and put us into homeschools, like black homeschools. We can build them. We can.
Wow. I think that's
wonderful. Yes, it is. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
We can build empires with them.
Yes, we can. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, from one of our young people who is in the school system currently, and she gets this.
I'm homeschooled.
You're homeschooled.
Yeah.
You get to see it from the other side of the table. And that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And I'm so glad that you're talking about it, because that is one way that we can insulate our children from a lot of the racism that takes place in classrooms, from teachers who are supposed to be teaching our young people and caring for them and who are not doing their job. So good for you and for your family for having that option for you. So that's wonderful.
Exactly.
Yes,
and
I would like to speak about my experience, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Go ahead.
So experiences with the public school system, I was getting bullied. I wasn't getting much attention with my education. I was struggling. You know, I was getting beaten, like, a lot. I was getting threatened. I was getting sexually harassed.
Huh.
And nobody gave it, like, any attention. So that's why I want to speak about for other black children, because me and other black kids my age, we are the only ones who can put it out there, because the white teachers, the white staff, the white doctors, nobody else would speak for us. Mm-hmm. So this is the right thing to do.
Right. Well, that's wonderful.
I'm glad, and, you know, I hate to hear that you were in a situation where you were being bullied and harassed, and no one stepped forward to correct these. Homeschooling, yes. In your particular case, that was the route to go. And now you have really appears that you have really blossomed in your homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, kudos to you, and continue moving forward. We'll always realize not only just your homeschooling, but, you know, when you're out there surfing the net or whatever, always look for the positive. Don't put yourself in what we call a box. Realize that the world is much bigger than your neighborhood, and you need to learn things about everything that's out there. in order to progress and move forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we want you to have a good evening. And it was, thank you for calling and speaking.
Absolutely. We hope to see you the last time coming in either.
And hope to hear from you again. That is very true.
Thank you.
And what's your name again?
Good evening. My name is Dorleya Wooders, Dorleeya. My last name, Woodards.
And thank you, Ms. Wooders. We appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Take good care.
Have
a good evening.
You too.
That was wonderful to hear from her. And
yes,
this is one lady that knows her own mind and is benefiting from being homeschooled. Isn't it unfortunate that she had to leave a school district that our tax dollars pay for in order to feel safe and secure in receiving her education? So
exactly. That really is sad that she had to resort to homeschooling in order to feel safe.
But I am grateful that there are options out there, and I'm grateful also for the fact that she did not let that divert her from speaking her mind about an issue as important as reparations. So it's young people like that that give me hope, Brother Bullock. It really is that, you know, our young people are so resilient that she was able to do what she felt she needed to do, talking about reparations while she was, you know, getting her education through homeschooling. So congratulations to her and her family for raising such a smart, resilient, strong young woman.
Yes, indeed. You know, you always hear about white families who do homeschooling, and I'm quite sure there are other black families out there, but we don't hear that much about them. And I'm glad that she called in and let us know that, yeah, this is how it's going.
Right. And I do know some black families that homeschool and have been very successful with it. And, you know, their children are on grade level and doing well. And maybe that's a show that we can talk about in future, Brother Bullock.
Most assuredly. That is something that we can talk about in the future. But as we move forward tonight, this show here.
It's a show that that hits on a lot of levels. National Crime Victims Week is usually the last week of April in every year, and it's been around since 1981. And I do believe that this year's theme is Elevate, Engage, and Affect Change.
And that is so important because we cannot keep turning a deaf ear and a blind eye to the things that are going on. You know, we talk about crime and people will look at it and go, well, that's just happening over in that area. Not necessarily. When there's a crime or you lose a loved one to crime, it affects more than just that particular loved one. It affects the whole family and the whole generation.
That's true.
Those scars tear deep.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, you and I both have been through some things in our life, and we know people who have been through some things in life concerning their family members.
Exactly. And it's no surprise either, Brother Bullock. I mean, according to the FBI, every 26.3 seconds a violent crime is being committed in the United States. That is a lot of crime, y'all. That's a lot of crime.
That is.
And so it seems, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, once upon a time, and I can say this honestly, you know, there's always been a crime problem here because Fresno is always that place where, for example, when we were in junior high, high school, you know, you'd always run across people who finally moved here from Southern California or the L.A. area. And, you know, some of them were cool and some of them weren't, because the truth of the matter was, when it got too hot in the L.A. area, they packed up because they had a family member there.
Exactly.
You know, it wasn't like L.A., whereas in L.A., you know, if they were walking down the street, they're looking over their shoulders, they're ducking and they're dodging. They could come to Fresno and regardless, walk down the street in peace.
This is true. And Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just getting ready to say, but what happened was a lot of those people who, while they were in Los Angeles, you know, they were on the cusp of a gang or a cusp of something, and they come to Fresno, and then all of a sudden, you know, they Johnny Badass, so to speak. All of a sudden, they're a super thug. When in the Los Angeles area, they were, you know, just on the outskirts. But, you know, then they come to Fresno.
They come to a new area and it gets full-blown. Yes.
Exactly. Because Fresno at that time wasn't that kind of place. We didn't play that. And we stood up to more of these little fake gangsters. You know, like, hey, you may have did that in L.A., but we ain't putting up with it here. It ain't going that route.
Right. Absolutely.
And, you know, you were mentioning the national crime rate, and it's funny. I just happened to be looking over the crime rates here in our city. And believe it or not, do you know that Fresno is 59% above the national crime rate average?
I believe it. I know for
that's
murders, it definitely used to be, yes.
Violent crime, 71%. Property crime, 57%.
See.
You know, and once upon a time in Fresno, you would not see that kind of craziness. This year, 2023.
Right. Remember, folks, we're only 4 months into 2023.
Yeah, we're only 4 months in. 2023. 77 murders. 148 rapes.
See.
889 robberies. 2,446 assaults, 3,506 violent crimes, and 3,036 in burglary.
Uh-huh.
4 months in.
4 months in.
4 months in. And what does that say about our city right now? We are outpacing Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Oakland, San Francisco, Sacramento. Fresno has become the crime spot of the state.
Crime capital of California. Yes. And I wonder, what is it that is driving these numbers? And see, to me, it's like we were talking about on the last show that we did about the lack of job opportunities, the lack of education. We just heard from the young lady about the school situation. So,
exactly.
I'm not making excuses for people who are doing these crimes or choosing crime. I am not. I really am not. That kind of thing is a choice. But I just feel that when you have better opportunities in education and better opportunities for jobs, people don't have to go that thuggish, violent crime route. and something is missing in Fresno. There's a component in our society in Fresno that is missing that, because Lord knows they have been throwing enough money at law enforcement for it to make a difference. But you know what gets me, Brother Tony? I want to find out, why is it when the police talk about crime and what they're supposedly doing, why they don't talk more about victims and survivors of these violent crimes and what's being done to them?
Exactly. Why is it that people will stand before the microphone and tell us, well, you know, crime's up in this area, and code 93706, and this is happening, and that's happening. Mm-hmm. But like you said, what are you saying, or what about what you're going to do about crime in that particular area?
Mm-hmm.
What is your approach other than just flooding it with police?
Exactly. Because obviously that's not working. We're 4 months into the new year, into 2023, and we've already got 77 murders. So, and the summer heat hasn't even started yet. And we all know, yes, that crime goes up during the summer months here in Fresno.
I was just about to say that, and you hit right on it. You are absolutely correct. You know, it's just amazing, and sitting here thinking, they love to point out West Fresno. You see what happened over there? You see how they're acting? But with these particular crime statistics, I can guarantee you it's not just West Fresno.
Absolutely not.
Crime is in every zip code in this city.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
Some of it approach different. Some, and you know this to be true. Some areas, especially out north, they get a daily watching over from the police. They're either driving through or flying over.
Right.
To make sure that neighborhood is safe. You know, I looked at some earlier stats. Go ahead, sister.
No, I was just going to say, it's interesting that you bring that up about the flying over and driving through, because if I remember, I think it was about a week ago or so, that I noticed on, I think it was Facebook or another platform, where they were talking about restarting the Neighborhood Watch program. Now, I thought, I never knew the Neighborhood Watch had gone away, but apparently it had been dormant for several years here in Fresno. And
really?
I just think it's interesting. Yeah, I just think that it's interesting that they're talking about revamping and renewing this Neighborhood Watch program now that, well, you know, we're approaching election season here. And people want to be able to use that as, you know, a prop and say, hey, yeah, you know, we're helping the police. We're all for, you know, crime reduction in our neighborhood, neighbors looking out for one another. I want to know what happened to the program before. I mean, why wasn't it up and running? And
exactly.
The funny thing is, Brother Tony, that in a lot of West Fresno neighborhoods, people have their own form of neighborhood watch. We know who our neighbors are. We know the cars they drive. We know their schedule when they're leaving and coming in from work and stuff like that. Not because we're, you know, stalking, but because we're just made aware. And if something funny is going on in the neighborhood, we know it. I know for a fact, at least 3 years ago, there was a guy in my neighborhood that was not familiar. And I'm watching this guy. He's hanging out in the neighborhood. Come to find out, he was stalking a young lady, a young Latino woman that lives next door to me, and tried to get in her house. And you better know it that I called the police. But it just so happened that that's what neighbors do in a lot of West Fresno neighborhoods. So we had, our own version of a neighborhood watch. It just turned out that way. But, yeah, I just find it interesting that the official neighborhood watch has been dormant. I did not know that.
I did not know that. And, I find that strange. And the reason is if your police department has the money to buy military vehicles and weapons and put them in your neighborhood, they can spend that money on making sure that neighborhood watch is up and running.
Hello.
That plain and simple. And they always say, we try to get to know the people, but they don't want to come out. How about you go out and go door to door? You get to know them.
Exactly.
Now, just like you
said. Yes, go ahead. Yes.
I was just getting ready to say, just like they putting assault vehicles and assault weapons in the neighborhood, you can go put some walkie-talkies in them neighborhoods and let people know, hey, when something's going on, hit this button. Call your neighbor. Call us. We will be there.
Yeah. Yes.
You want the trust back, you got to go back and earn it.
This community-based policing that they're supposedly doing doesn't sound like community-based to me, because what do you need military-grade vehicles in regular civilian neighborhoods? It doesn't compute for me. It just doesn't.
Doesn't that compute? You're absolutely correct.
It does not compute. They can do better. And I want to find out. I would love to know, and my research didn't stretch this far, how the victim assistance programs work in Fresno, because I know that they have an office here. I know that in 84 there was a department that was established for victims' funds to compensate victims of certain crimes, and I would love to have the police give a report on that on a regular basis, but we never hear about this. We never hear about these things from our local police, and why is that?
You know, what we're going to have to start doing is go to the City of Fresno homepage, pull up, start taking a look to see exactly what's there, what reports we can get away at. What actions are being taken on certain things? Hitting up that city council meeting on Thursdays online, to see what they're talking about, and to see if I can get somebody's attention about certain things, because it's time for action, and it can't always be us doing the work. Now, I know there are some out there who say, you want the about the oppressor doing a job. But if we pay in the oppressor to do a job, then damn it, they ought to do it.
They ought to do it. And I don't think that's too much to ask.
And do it correctly.
Absolutely. Isn't it funny? I mean, we are talking about Victims Assistance Week and, the effectiveness of the police. And we've talked on different shows about this many times where, black folks got to think very hard about calling the police, because sometimes when we call them for assistance, that whole thing goes sideways. And instead of getting the help that, that we need, we wind up being victims of the police who are coming in. And, you know, maybe for some people they might think that, you know, we're making this stuff up, but this is true. This is a true statement that we have to think twice about calling the police because of the way that they approach our neighborhoods. So, and
exactly.
It's not that I'm anti-police or anti-law enforcement. I have family members who are in law enforcement, been in it for years. And, yeah, if something happens at my house, you bet your bottom dollar I'm going to be calling the police because that's what I'm supposed to do. But it doesn't save the fact that I have to think twice about that because I'm calling them for help. I don't want to be a victim of their
exactly.
overzealousness about me as a
exactly.
black person calling them.
And you have definitely spoke on something that makes absolutely no sense. Just recently, I read in New Mexico, they go out to raid a house, go to the wrong house, and
whoa.
Kill this old man. And then at the news conference, the guy giving the news conference has the audacity to stand there and go, well, I don't know why everybody's upset. It was an honest mistake.
And somebody's life is lost. Wow.
You done took someone's life. And now you up here talking about it was an honest mistake. No one should be upset.
Right.
It
so, and these are folks, we have to understand that we are talking about professionally trained, police academy trained officers who are doing this. Now, they could have done that differently. They did not probably have to use, you know, deadly force when going in. Listen, I've worked in a public defender's office twice. And one of the first cases that I had working on one in Richmond, California, was an illegal search and seizure where the police went to the wrong address, didn't double check, went to the wrong address, went in and found some illegal contraband and wanted to prosecute our client. Well, we were able to get this person off. And it's just lucky that they didn't go in with deadly force because they could have killed everybody in the house. There were like four
yeah.
occupants. It was just luck that they didn't. So these things happen, and that was in the early 80s. These things happen on a regular basis. So Brother Bullock and myself are not making these things up. These things happen.
Indeed, they do. And, you know, once upon a time, we know that whenever they went into the black community, first thing out of their mouths were, we're going in guns blazing because we don't know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Well, now that's starting to everyone. And, you know, it's funny. Now it's a problem. When it was just, you know, a black thing, okay, well, you know, things happen. Now that it's happening to everybody, it's like the drug problem, a major problem. Remember, we had a crack cocaine epidemic, but it didn't become an epidemic until Little Joey and Little Josephine in Iowa, North Dakota, and Wyoming started getting hooked.
Wow.
Then it became an epidemic.
That's right. Black people have always been the canary in the coal mine when it comes to social issues like that. And, yeah, you know, it's we're saying this, but we're saying it because it's true. And now I'm trying to wait to see, Brother Bullock, like how long it's going to be before fentanyl and things like that are going to be this big epidemic. I know I keep seeing it on the TV here locally in Fresno about how fentanyl will kill you, you know, with just one dose and all this. And we have had a lot of celebrities who have bought it behind fentanyl. rest in peace. So, but you're right. You're absolutely right about not being a problem until it hits the white community.
Exactly. Well, you're starting to hear more about fentanyl in the national media now because more celebrities have, you know, we've had several die from that. So now they're starting to realize that that is a major problem. Give it a month or two, and it will become bigger than what it is, because right now it's starting to reach, in their mind's eye, crisis level, which you and I already know it's past crisis level.
It is.
So,
it
like
is.
You said, let's see where it goes.
Absolutely. But, you know, this thing with the crime statistics that you read off, when you were reading those stats, Brother Book, I'm thinking about all the lives that were torn up, the families that were torn apart, who lost loved ones. And we never hear about, you know, whether or not counseling is offered to these families. We hear about survivors sometimes or victims who, you know, survive violent crimes or things like that, rape, assault, robbery. But I wonder, are social services offered not just to them but to their families too? Because you made a comment earlier that when something like this happens, it happens to the entire family and not just to the individual. So
exactly.
I'm wondering if they have that option. But folks, if you want to weigh in about National Crime Victims Week, please give us a call at 563-999-3043. Once again, that's 563-999-3043.
Yes, indeed. Please give us a call. We would like to hear from you, especially if you yourself something like this or this nature, or you know something of going on.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. As Brother Bullock was saying, that there's an event coming up this weekend at FAME, and we're hoping that people come out for that. If I remember right, Brother Bullock, they have to register for that particular event. So
yes,
there is a level of security that's involved with that. I don't have the the registration, but folks, check your Facebook. It's on the flyer that Brother Bullock has posted quite a bit on several different platforms. I know it's on Facebook for free AME this coming weekend. And one of the sponsors, Sister Tina Rodriguez and her group is going to be there. And Sister Tina has worked with crime victims throughout California. And I'm sure that it's going to be a worthwhile event. So
yes,
I hope
indeed
that people will register and come out to it. I believe it's going to be between 5 and 7 on Saturday, this coming Saturday.
Yes, it is April 29th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. over at Free AME Ministry, 806 Collins, Golden West Side of Fresno, 93706. And registration is located at crime survivors for safety and justice /event 560-655. And also for more information, you can contact Allie Reyes, number 559-565-559. Once again, that was 559-365-6559. Please come out. You can get information on some help, and you can also hear from folks who may be going through some of what you yourself have been through. You can speaking and listen to like-minded people.
Yes. I knew Brother Bullock would have that information, y'all, so excuse me, but I knew the brother would have it, and he did. Thank you, Brother Bullock.
I don't know about having it, but, you know, my eyes work when they want to, and I just, you know, having posted that flyer, I was able to just go back and find it and come back with that part. But you can it throughout Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Spoutable.
Uh-huh. Yes, indeed. Yes,
so whatever
indeed.
Your social media platform is right now, you know, I try to put that information out there on the ones that I go through because
uh-huh.
you never know when someone is going to need some help.
Exactly. Exactly. And if not you as an individual has been through something like this, you probably know somebody or have a family member who's been through it. And if they're struggling and they need help, this would be a good opportunity to offer some help to them and to help them get through it. Because none of us make it through this world by ourselves. We all need support sometimes. And
absolutely correct.
Yeah.
This, you know, dark times, you need a little to get through them. There's quite a few of us, time or another, have walked through the dark. At one point or another, something has happened that has made people feel like it's dark, I'm out alone, and there's just no help, and we're letting you know that, especially this Saturday, help is there.
Yeah.
Tina Rodriguez, Sister Eileen Reed was saying, Sister Rodriguez steps up for the community. She has done this many times before, and when you can get someone who has a statewide voice to come out and assist, you
mm-hmm.
definitely need to come out and support and listen to what these people have to
Absolutely.
Say because it may change your world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're hoping that people who are listening to this show or have seen the flyers are going to register. If you know somebody who is going through something because of a violent crime, you know, and they can't, they're not in a position to think about doing this for themselves, talk to them about it and see if maybe you can get them to register and get them to attend. It's only 2 hours. And, you know, the support is there. You have other people who care about you and who understand what you're going through. So you're not alone. You don't have to be alone. There are many of us who care about seeing that you heal and that you do well going forward.
That is absolutely correct. And, you know, in order to make that journey, you have to take the first step.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to take that first step. And I know there are a lot of you out there who feel like, you know, how I'm feeling. I've always been told, you know, it's best for you just to deal with what you deal with. Nobody needs to know your business. But sometimes
right.
it doesn't help to have somebody put their arms around your shoulder and help you get through what you get through.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Brother Bullock. And I have to say, folks, if you haven't had a chance to look at the slideshow for tonight's show, Brother Bullock did an exceptional job on the slideshow because he has got some stuff on there that talks about dysfunctional families. And the reason that I bring that up is because sometimes those are the things that propel people into crime. Those are the things that propel people who have been victims of crime to not want to say anything. And so the brother is absolutely right. Sometimes it's better to talk about something to start the healing process And I know it's difficult because, you know, I've been through a lot. I don't want to make myself vulnerable. But believe me, if you go to an event like this, there are going to be people there who are going to take that vulnerability into account and be there to help you heal. So.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, that journey begins with one step. But it also begins with that frame of mind of, you telling yourself that you can do it, that there's more than what you realize. And sometimes that's just how it is with us. Let's just be honest. You know, Black America, we've approached things a whole lot different than everybody else. Losing a family member, whether it's violent crime outside the family or inside. We have definitely heard that don't talk about what go on in your house. Sometimes you have to. That may be what saves your life or that person's life.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, some secrets should not be kept. Some secrets should be told so that the hurt can stop.
Amen.
And the healing began. So Brother Bullock is right on the money with that. And so we need to develop a new dynamic going forward. We're looking out for one another and being there for one another. And for those of you who are listening and you have dysfunctional things happening in your life or in your family dynamic, you know, think about a change and think about doing something different. Talk to somebody. If you cannot talk to somebody at your school or at your church or a good friend who's supportive, find somebody else that you can talk to about it and get some perspective, because it's easy to shut down and just stay in a place that you already know, even if that place is painful. But we have to do things different. We have to behave different if we want different outcomes. So I'm saying all this to say, you know, we can be a catalyst in our own healing if we only let ourselves do it. So
that is absolutely correct. It's real easy for us to fade into the darkness, shut our voice down, close our eyes, cover our ears, so that it's like, well, if I don't see it, I don't hear it, I don't speak it, I'll be okay. The worst thing that you could do. You know, dealing with a loss is not easy. And especially dealing with a loss due to violence. Because somewhere out there, you know, your mind will always play that game with you. What could I have helped them out? What could I have done to make the situation better? You know, things are happening to people and they're in your face. You have no idea that they are involved, you know, doing them harm. So we like Sister Reed said earlier, we have to do our best to watch out for one another.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, Sister Reed, I see that we have a call, so let's see who it is and what the deal is.
All right, now. Hi, everybody. Good evening. Hi, Brother Tony. Hi, Sister Reed.
Hello, my brother.
Okay, we got to introduce you. Tell us who the caller is.
I was just getting ready to. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Sister Crystal Joyce Pastor, without a doubt. One of my favorite people. She is my ride or die. Now, she is my sister. We may not speak every day, but she know if I call her, and I better not be crying, she coming.
All right. Yes,
this,
yes.
This sister here,
because I know this
is
the same
wonderful.
For me.
Yes, I will. She is a wonderful person. You know, she is one of our favorite people. I'm so glad.
Yes.
We are so glad to hear from you tonight, Sister Joyce. We really
yes.
are.
Yes, we
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I'm having a rough time, but, you know, God is in control. We never know what's going to happen from one day to the next. So we did a heavenly birthday dinner for my baby. She would have been 26 today. And
yes,
a little more that I can handle. I didn't think it was going to be this bad, but I can
yeah.
handle it. So I called in just to tell people to love your folks while they're here. Forgive, make up, bury the hatchet, the axe. You need to bury some of these guns y'all using out here killing your folks, because we
yeah.
all are connected. The blood that runs in our veins connects us to life, and so we're all brothers and sisters. And the ones that are dying, that are not saved, we don't know where they're going. And nobody
mm-hmm.
knows who's saved unless you have a relationship with that person. And the only
mm-hmm.
time they save is if they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he has to go for them to the Father. And you don't
Amen.
Know who has done that. So we're killing people. We don't know if they saved. We don't know where they're going. We don't know. We don't know. Please
yeah.
stop. It's too hard for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home, but I just called him because this is a very special day for me. But it's also
we've been praying for you, Sister Crystal, because we know it's a hard day for you. And this is one of the reasons why we're doing this show and talking about Saturday's event, because we don't want any more names added to the list of senseless murders, rapes or assaults.
We're supposed to die of old age. You know, if you get old, we know we're going to leave here. We're supposed to, and sometimes we get sick and we leave here. But all this
yes.
leaving here by gun violence or somebody mm-hmm. beating you up and taking your life, that's different. It's different. But one thing I know, God is the giver, and he's the taker of life. No man can take your life unless he allow it. But the things that are happening today, a lot of it is very, very senseless, because if you didn't have a gun to use in the first place, a whole lot of people still be alive. Like that
That's
man,
right,
man. Let my baby go. My baby got out that car. And he could have let her go, but he grabbed my baby and shot her in the back of her head. I got to go. I love you, Father.
All right,
thank you.
We love you.
We love you, too.
Now, see, folks.
Say it, brother.
That right there is what we are talking about.
That's why we are doing this show.
That's why we are doing this show, that you hear the hurt in that sister's voice. Now, she called in to speak to y'all about the pain she is going through. The
yeah.
senseless pain she is going through.
Behind some gun violence that
behind
that didn't
gun
happen.
Violence.
Yes. She lost her niece, you know, behind some senseless gun violence, and Sister Crystal is strong enough to be going forward. She is letting her pain be a catalyst to help other people, but there is no mistaking the pain and the agony that she is going through on this child's 26th birthday. I believe she was going to be 26 today.
You would have been 26 today.
I mean, we don't want to have any more senseless murders or rapes or assaults going on for this. You know what? I would like it to be where we can abolish even needing a crime victims week or an event or anything like that. It doesn't have to be like that. Americans have gone gun crazy. They have gone gun crazy. and the guns are in the hands of the wrong people. They were just talking yesterday on MSNBC about the guy who shot up the 11 Jewish parishioners at the Temple of Light or a City of Light there in Philadelphia. He killed 11 people from three different congregations in that temple. And I'm just like, really? Really? 11 people you killed in one go. So we have to do better, y'all. We just have to. We have to do better.
Yes, indeed. And I was sitting here and I'm listening to the pain and the hurt in Sister Crystal's voice. But again, she is trying to do what? Deliver a message. You know, and the truth of the matter is, you ought to be calling in. And
exactly.
Again, that number is 563-999-3043. 563-999-3043. This sister,
yeah.
Like me, she's not perfect,
yeah.
But she's sharing her pain. And for her to call in on her, what would have been her niece's 26th birthday, that was painful.
That was painful. Think about what she had to go through to make that call. You can hear it in her voice, the tears. My eyes started to water because I know how hard it has been for Crystal on this journey. And still, she took the time to call into the show because she wanted to connect with all of you. She wanted to connect with all of you. So
that was no small feat for her to do. I know tonight is a painful night for her. But the thing about it is just not tonight. This has been ever since she lost her niece, this has been a painful journey for her.
Yes, it has been. And she always calls her baby, you know, and while we can't bring her back, we can't bring Wendy back, we can say that, Wendy, we love you and we miss you and we're not going to forget you and we are going to work hard to try to do something about gun violence in this country so
Amen.
Other young women don't have to deal with what you had to deal with. So. So callers, if you're listening, if you know somebody who is going through some things, we hope that you will get registered for this event that's coming up on Saturday and that
exactly.
You will attend that event. Yes.
And if you know something that's going on, you know, you can say what you want about the culture, but if you know something that's going on that ain't correct, say something, do something, get involved.
Yes. Yes, be the change you want to see in this world. And none of us are perfect. All of us are flawed. But do the things that you know you can do. That's all any of us can do.
That's all any of us can do. And that's all we ask you to do. Nobody's asking anyone to step out there and put on a cape and be Superman. But I will ask you to be vigilant. And to pay attention to things around you. Because like Sister Crystal said, senseless violence. Y'all need to put them guns down.
Uh-huh.
Taking folks' lives. It's one thing to protect your family, protect yourself. It's another
uh-huh.
thing to just get involved in stupidity with a gun.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just,
you got to be with somebody to solve it with bullets. You really don't. You have a choice.
Like she said, you should be thinking about growing old. If you
yeah.
have are thinking about having children, don't you want to be there for them?
Exactly. And if you have children, you know, and you're into things that you shouldn't be into, think about them and what you're teaching them. Think about it.
Exactly. You know, why put yourself at an unnecessary risk? And I realize that in today's world, just walking out the door, you're at an unnecessary risk. But, you know, nowadays, all this gun violence and getting, you know, today I looked at a news story that made me shake my head because the person who ended up dying was someone I knew from high school. That, and this was a family thing, that, yeah, just makes no sense. And it made the paper today.
I think I know the news story that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is that the one where the nephew punched somebody?
That is correct.
With one hand. Yes. And wound up killing him. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we were talking about, folks, with those family dynamics, the dysfunctionality that can happen in family. Sometimes it's better to just walk away. It doesn't always have to be about being tough and hitting somebody or striking somebody. It doesn't even have to be about words flying around, because those can hurt as well. Sometimes it's better to just walk away, be the bigger person, and just walk away. Now we have a family member who's going to jail for murder, and we have another family member who's in the morgue. So, that makes sense.
Crazy. You know, I understand that these are trying times, but like you just said, sometimes you just have to walk away.
You gotta do it.
People, it makes no sense, people. Why are we doing this to ourselves?
Exactly.
You know, walking away, you ain't no punk. You ain't scared of nobody. You let calmer heads prevail.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, I want people to put that energy and that bravado into protecting their neighborhoods instead of them, you know, wanting to take it out on others. You know, channel that energy into something else, because the truth of the matter is that as Black people, we got enough problems to deal with just being Black in this world, that we, you know, turn on each other and are evil and violent towards each other, that we're taking each other's lives or we're beating up on each other. You know, it doesn't have to be like that. We can do better.
We could do better. We're going to have to do better. You know, you always hear me say, in order for us, there's survival in the community. In order for us to survive, we got to take it back to the village. No one survives out here alone.
Nope.
We have got to take it back to the village. You know, once upon a time, and I can we're about the same age. You know, it was like that. The community took care of you. Where you showed out was where you got laid out. And you know that to be true. So, looks like we got another call coming. So let's find out what's going on.
All right, now.
Hello.
Number 4481, you're on West Side Visions. Who are we speaking with?
Khalil Reed from Charlottesville, Virginia.
All right. Mr. Reed, how are you doing, sir?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
We're fine. And thank you for calling in. And what would you like to say this evening?
I would like to say that some of the violence is not good. Like, and also, one of the things that we need to start doing is the people. I don't want to be divisive or political, but the people who there's so much people that don't want things like gun control until it's actually discriminatory. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And not only are the people wishy-washy on it, but then when you talk about it with some people, they just deflect attention, and it just allows these people, like the NRA, to get away with being wishy-washy, because basically they only support it when it's actually racist, or they only support it when it's actually, like, against, like, law enforcement officers, but when it's against the average citizen that we don't know who they are, they actually oppose it, or they oppose anything, even if it's not a law, that's actually, like, helpful, like smart guns. But the problem is, not only that, but the problem is people, when you talk to people about it, they just allow the NRA and all these others to get away with it because they have a tunnel vision. They only see the part about gun control, which to me, if I'm talking about something like that and then you just want to talk about how something is, when I'm talking about something like that or talking about officers outgunned, and you want to talk about something like how if we ban guns or something is conspiracy to take away guns, that just shows that you're a selfish person too, not just the people who are wishy-washy.
You know, it's funny you say that because you're absolutely correct. You know, living here in California, growing up here, I watched how the early 70s, the NRA first started. At one time, they were all about people having their guns. Until the Black Panthers armed themselves to protect themselves, officers. Then all of a sudden there was a problem with gun control.
Yeah.
Now
but
I heard
see,
you say
not only that.
Go ahead.
But you know, I wish that people would stop allowing these NRA and all these other people to get away with it. Like when people talk about the inconsistencies of the crowd that wants gun control, to me it's very inconsiderate to have one track to just take only cherry pick what you want to talk about.
You're
you know,
right.
It kind of makes me kind of mad.
And that's
because,
right now,
like, all
and the far right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, in West Virginia or Virginia?
I'm in Virginia.
Okay. So let me ask you this. You know, you're speaking about these gun laws. And I understand exactly what you're saying about, you know, that the gun crowd being wishy-washy and these people who, you know, on one hand, yeah, we need this, we need that. But common sense with them about it, it's a whole different slant. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. So let me ask a question, caller. Is there open carry in Virginia?
Yeah, there is.
Mhm.
It's
okay.
Just some places you can't carry.
Okay. Wow. Well, I appreciate your calling and you calling in saying that because a lot of people are even afraid to broach this subject about the NRA and their cherry picking / discriminatory behavior because for them the NRA would say, well, it's okay for white citizens to open carry. But if black people do it, then they're obviously thugs, drug dealers, or whatever. And it's unfortunate that it's like that.
I also don't like the people who I talk to about this, and then they allow like groups like the NRA and even citizens to be wishy-washy. They don't
exist. Right.
They just talk about if we ban guns. And it's like it's not just the NRA that's cherry picking is also the people I talk to about the inconsistencies of the gun control crowd that are cherry picking, and to me, it just shows that you're not really a person that really is considerate when you see these inconsistencies and you say nothing or you deflect.
Right.
I agree with you. You know, they speak on the issue, but you know, the thing about that is it's like anything else. You know, they have this wishy-washy approach until it happens to them. Something goes along, something goes wrong with them. When that happens, then their voices will change.
Yeah, because it's like I said to this man, you know, if we can, I had the sign, and it had a policeman on there. I said, if we can ban police from military-style weapons, we can ban Syrian refugees and certain political ideologies like liberals or libertarians. We can certainly ban civilians from dangerous weapons. Or if we can ban safe smart guns, we can ban regular civilians from regular guns. And the man that I was talking to, he just took what he wanted to hear. He just said, if we ban guns, it's like, don't do that. That's just very inconsiderate. You know, it's like, if you don't want to talk about it, just say you don't want to talk about it. But don't, you know, give these people more of a reason to be wishy-washy. And that's what, when people deflect attention, they just give these people more of a reason to be wishy-washy. It's like, it's just like if someone had a discriminatory practice and then, and it was, there were other reasons why they did it. And you just, you didn't call it out. You just deflect attention. I just don't like when people, people see something is wrong as well, and then they deflect attention or they don't see it. Because, like, even with, like, gun violence, I called out Steven Crowder because he doesn't see not allowing abortion but allowing, not allowing gun control but allowing abortion is not hypocrisy. But when it comes to immigration, all the things like that, he'll call somebody a hypocrite for not supporting, for supporting gun control but not immigration. It's like, you have to practice what you preach. You can't just call someone a hypocrite for something that's not hypocrisy, and then when you see actual hypocrisy, say, oh, you know, because even with, like, off with the Fast and the Furious, which was a terrible thing, they didn't want to, they wanted to say we as liberals don't get it, but they're the first ones that will call you a hypocrite for firing a fake gun in the movie. It's like, you can't have it both ways.
The thing is that it's a big difference between having a handgun or a rifle and an AK-47. I'm not necessarily anti-gun, but there is no reason that a regular citizen needs an assault rifle. He's not going out deer hunting with that, so why would he need? And that's something that the laws can change, and they need to be banned. There's no reason for something like that.
Sorry for cutting you off.
That's all right. As a person who served in the military, I know exactly what those weapons can do. I've had them in my hands. And you're right. There's no need for civilians to walk around here with AK-47s, MP5s. We don't need them.
Right.
And yes, caller, we definitely appreciate your call and you putting that out there for us.
Yeah, I'll put one more thing out there.
Go ahead.
Real fast. I used to respect Alex Jones until he became one of those that were wishy-washy on gun control and on black-on-black crime and other things like the Democratic Party. He just wanted to speak out of his behind. And then when Dallas came, he wanted to exploit that. Only time he'll ever admit gun violence is actually real is if it's African-American, another minority, or if it's the government doing something. That's when he just wants to prove a point. And
exactly.
I used to respect him until he started to be, you know.
Well, I can be honest with you. I've never had respect for Alex Jones. And when he attacked the Sandy Hook people, I didn't know what he was about. But we do appreciate your call tonight. You be safe and keep speaking your voice. We appreciate that.
I will.
Take
good
care.
Night.
You have a good night.
Bye.
So the caller made a good point about this is what the far right does. They want to pick around and pick and choose the things that they want to be supportive about, but they cannot see the logic when it goes towards, you know, gun violence and how it could relate to abortion laws and things like that. And that is the whole problem with the MAGA generation, the MAGA cult, so some people call it. That they just don't make sense. But underlying all of that is hate and discrimination and making people out to be, quote-unquote, the other. to make it easier to hate them and to dehumanize them. That's one of the problems in America. We need to change that. All of us are human beings, and we need to treat each other fairly and squarely in our dealings with them.
And realize that this paper bag we come in, we're all the same underneath. I watched Alex Jones over the years just turn into that made absolutely no sense. You know, at one time he was on TV, he also, then all of a sudden he got on Fox and turned into this totally different guy. And if you were black, you were part of the problem.
About Tucker Carlson today, these purveyors of hate and discrimination, these spewers of all this bile, they get on Fox, they get all these, you know, they make all this money, and they have this following. What is it about certain folks in America that you need to hate somebody? What is it? What is this neediness that we need to find somebody to blame for our problems in this country? Why can't we just take accountability for
what's wrong? I wish I had the answer to that. I really do. I wish I had the answer to that. Absolutely. And one of the things I thought of that was, well, do you think that it's going to change that Tucker is off of the air? No, it's not. Because all they're going to do is slide someone else in that slot and allow them to do the same thing.
I predict that true, but Tucker had to go because of that Dominion lawsuit and because of the sexual harassment lawsuit that's coming down the pike. Behind him with that hostile work environment. That's why Tucker had to go. But Fox has made a lot of money on that hate speech that they continue to spill out. It's unfortunate that they're even allowed to broadcast that bilge water in America, but they do, and people buy into it. People buy into it.
Yes, indeed. You know, like the brother just said, there are a lot of watch people out there. And, you know, I don't know if his politics are Democrat or Republican, you know, from the way he was speaking. I think that he kind of leans more towards the Republican side of the fence. But what he said made a whole lot of sense. Wishy-washy people. And, you know, at least I give him credit for saying, hey, I don't like it when they say it. I don't like it when they make it like it's only a problem on one side of the file where it's just, you know, a black crime problem. I have to give the man credit for being honest about his approach.
Right. I'm hoping that he'll take that approach. And when he gets ready to vote in the upcoming election, he'll look at all that and not just say, forget it, I'm going to vote for Trump. Because, I mean, when have we had a presidential candidate that is running for the office of the presidency at the same time that they're dealing with a sexual assault case? I mean, I know these are modern times, but that's just crazy talk.
I'm
hoping that people like the caller will think about the logical conclusion that we don't want somebody like that holding the highest office in the land.
We don't. And, you know, my thing is this. you know, it always cracks me up when people sit back and talk about, well, the Democrats did this and they're doing this and they're doing this. But the one thing I notice, you never hear them say this. The Democrats gave me this money and I'm going to spend it back. The Democrats gave me this money and I'm not going to spend it. Oh, no. You never hear that. They will take whatever social reform there is with some money involved and take that money happily.
Yes.
But yet.
You know, you said that makes me think of that PPP program that was going on during the pandemic. And
right.
How many rich Republicans got richer from that program?
Exactly.
Quite a few.
And not
yeah.
only that, there are some sitting in the U.S. House of Representatives who took that money.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of them goes by
mm-hmm.
the three initials. I like to call her the three-toed sloth. But, hey, that's a whole nother story.
Well, we're going to have plenty of opportunity to talk about that because this upcoming election cycle is going to be wild. And if people think that we're not going to be talking about it, they're crazy because that is what we do on West Side Visions.
Best believe you will get to hear about upcoming elections locally, statewide, and nationally. And a lot of these folks who are out there riding the clown car will definitely be my target. Because sometimes, you know, enough is enough. There
Absolutely.
Is a certain amount of stupidity that just needs to be shut down.
Absolutely. And the people need to know that. So, yes. Yes, indeed, brother.
You know, we've had a great show tonight. Hopefully, we've touched on something that people will pay attention to. And again, to my sister, we are praying for you. We keep
we
you in prayer. And we're going to always stand for you and stand with you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
so.
That sister there, you know, Sister Crystal Joyce, it just hurts my heart to hear her in such pain. It really does.
Yeah.
And
we tell her often that she's not alone, but that is not going to alleviate what she's going through. But she's not alone,
not.
And we continue to pray for her.
We continue.
And her family.
Yes, we do. So, again.
Yes.
Healing Vigil, this weekend, April 29th, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Free AME Ministries, 806 Collins, on the Golden West Side of Fresno, zip code 93706. Please register. Please come out for
Please.
The event because you just might find something that will help you. Sister Reed,
yes.
We gave them a good one tonight. I want to thank the
All
callers
right.
who called in, especially
yes,
our young lady who called in to speak about reparations. That does my old heart good.
Yes, ditto. She's our future. She's our promise for the future, that young lady.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
We're happy.
I want to
yeah,
thank all my callers and my brother down in Virginia. Thank you very much. Thank you for calling in, for taking the time to call in and express
yes.
your views. We really appreciate that.
Yes, we did. Yes, we
and
do.
Sister Crystal, we love you. We pray for you. We stand with you. You know you can always call on us, my sister. We will be there for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime. So we want to say to the folks that are listening, we appreciate you listening to the show. Please continue to listen. If you have ideas that you want to have for a future show, we want you to share those with us as well. So it's important that we dialogue, and that's what we do at West Side Vision. So, Brother Bullock, is it about that time?
It is that time, my sister. Please,
okay.
let them know.
All right. Well, I'm going to say what I always say, y'all. This is about a mindset. So I trust and hope that you will stay black until we get back with you.
You know, and like I always say, each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you who are proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range. Get them trained up. Get them registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who is watching us. As we go through the week, please think about your people. Make sure to hold them close, hold them tight. Bring them into that circle of love as we go through the National Crime Victims' Rights Week. This observance is very important. Think about the people you know. Think about people who have lost loved ones to senseless violence, the stuff that didn't need to happen. Light a candle. Say a prayer. Think about someone. But most of all, think about your family and take care of them and hold them tight. Like Sister Crystal say, it's time to bury those axes, time to put those guns down, time to make the family unit what it once again. It is time for the village once again to take care of that child. Everybody stay tight. Until this Thursday, we'll holler.